So here's the tally. The number of COVID-19 cases reported in the U.S. has now passed 2.5 million, with more than 125,000 deaths. And the number of daily new cases is now rising in more than half of the states. Meanwhile, protests against racism and police use of force continued over the weekend in Washington, St. Louis, Denver, Atlanta. Derek Thompson has been watching the pandemic and the protests and sees in both a failure of American institutions. Derek is senior editor at The Atlantic. He joins us from Washington as he does every Monday. Hi, Derek.
Hello.
So flesh it out, the pandemic and the police use of force in many of the protests and also causing the protests in the first place with the death of George Floyd show the failure of American institutions. What do you mean?
I mean that in this terrible, terrible year, the theme that combines the twin crises of police brutality and the failures of our public health system, the failures across the police and the CDC and the FDA, are a failure of institutions, a failure of agencies that are designed to keep us safe and secure, and in many cases are doing the exact opposite. So the failures of the police are easily stated. They're shooting and killing way too many people, a disproportionate number of whom are minorities. But the public health infrastructure has also had just a calamitous year. The CDC failed to track early COVID cases, failed to expedite initial testing kits. Their first kits were contaminated and unusable. And the FDA has often stood in the way of fast-tracking testing and treatment. And so what I was looking at in this piece is what causes it? Why do we have this failure across these institutions that should be keeping us safe?
Well, and you write, the reason is that our institutions are in part choking on the dust of a dead century. What do you mean?
I mean that in so many quarters of American leadership, it seems like these institutions are focused on the risks and anxieties of the late 20th century, and they're not paying attention to the actual risks of the 21st century. They are stuck in a dead century. So what does that mean? It means that we're prepared for wars against states and militant groups, but not against stateless forces like pandemics and climate change. It means that as far as the police go, we are arming and empowering law enforcement like it's 1990 and urban crime is at historic highs, when in fact, in the last 30 years, crime rates have fallen by more than 50% in just about every single American city, and yet we're still killing 1,000 people every single year in terms of the police. So there's a lot of reasons why we might be biased toward the status quo across institutions. You could say it's polarization. You could say it's about anti-expertise politics. You could even say maybe this is about gerontocracy, meaning that our leadership is too old across the country. And indeed, whoever wins in November this year will be the oldest president in American history. But the point is that we can't just blame Trump. There is institutional rot beyond the White House that afflicts all of these agencies that should be keeping us safe.
Okay, let's take it up. First of all, law enforcement, and we are hearing police departments say that they are training rookies differently now, but they put them out in cars with veterans, and things change. You know that they can't fight the forces of the older police who have been fighting with a different mindset, crime on the streets, and also there are police who say, wait a second, you're accusing me of fighting crime as if it were high. If I don't, high crime rates will return, or you don't see what I have to see. I'm remembering the officer in tears talking to protesters, white officer, coming back from the shooting death of a little girl who was caught in gang crossfire. He was saying things like, her life matters. I was there. So, you know, got a lot of conflicting forces here.
Yeah, I think this is really, it's complicated, but let me try to make it as simple as possible. I think we need the police. I think we need effective policing, period. I also think that we should unbundle the police. I think the police do a lot of stuff that they just shouldn't do. You've seen a dramatic decline in inpatient mental health spending since the middle of the 20th century. So a lot of people with mental health problems aren't in facilities, they're out on the streets. And police who aren't trained as social workers or behavioral therapists have to essentially play the duty of both. They have to essentially be mental health specialists for people dealing with these crises. I don't think we should be having police doing that. I don't think we should be having armed police doing that. I think that's a fantastic example of how we've taken this blunt 20th century instrument of armed policing and asked it to do the 21st century job of dealing with America's mental health crisis. Mm. It's totally inappropriate. We need to deal with 21st century crises with 21st century tools.
I just want to quickly touch on the health institutions. We only have a minute here. Taking away the leadership of a president who didn't think, you know, masks should be worn, that kind of thing. The CDC was founded in the 1940s with a mission to stop an epidemic. What went wrong? How to make it right? And you only got a 45.
Sure. Yeah, to make it as simple as possible, the CDC, ironically, was founded in the 1940s to stop an epidemic. Its first 400 employees based in Atlanta were tasked with stopping the outbreak of malaria in the Southeast. How ironic that 80 years later, they are incapable of being helpful in terms of stopping, reducing the caseload of yet another epidemic. I think it has to do with the fact that in the last 80 years, it has expanded to become a huge scientific research center that has lost the quick twitch instinct to actually achieve its founding mission.
We'll take you up on that again. Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic. Thanks as always.
Thank you.